You know, it's always a blessing when you renew an old relationship, an old friendship, and that happened to me several weeks ago. I saw a brother. We were sitting next to each other at a meeting, and I hadn't seen him for a while, and it was a blessing to see him. And after, you know, conversing for a moment or two, I said, "George, you've got to come and speak at Calvary Chapel, North Long Beach," which he agreed to do. So tonight, George Saeed is with us. He has a ministry to Muslims. George is from Sudan, and that ministry kind of flows out of, operates out of Calvary Chapel, Anaheim. And we're just, George was with us some years ago, and it was a blessing, and it was also a very good equipping time. I think we all learned some important things that we needed to learn. Some of you weren't here, so you get to learn them tonight. So would you help me welcome Pastor George Saeed?
Good evening. I just want to clarify, this is not a bomb, it's just a microphone. Just don't want you to be nervous. How many of you hearing what's happening in Syria and Iraq and these places? The Bible tells us to pray for those in prison chains. And our brothers and sisters in Iraq and Syria, they're going through a very difficult time right now. Many of them, they lost their loved ones. If we can just stand together and we pray for them before we start. Heavenly Father, we just pray for our brothers and sisters right now that they're going through the persecution there right now. I just pray, Lord, that you help them to overcome that fear, Lord Jesus. And I pray that even you give them a love for their enemies right now, Lord. Lord, I do pray that you give them comfort as they lost their loved ones, their children being beheaded in front of their eyes. Lord, we can't imagine that, Lord. We thank you for the freedom we have here. Lord, I do pray that you be in the midst of that situation, Lord. I pray that you will turn what meant for evil to good, Lord Jesus. We just thank you so much, Lord, and I do pray that you will remind us always to pray for them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The fact that Islam is a violent religion is true. It's in the book, it's called the Quran. The violence is in the Quran. It's not just certain amount of people, they're doing bad stuff. No, Islam is a violent religion. There's no doubt. But Islam, not just the political side, is the spiritual side, and cover every aspect in the Middle East. It's not like the United States, there's separation of religion and state. Islam is everything. Covers every aspect of their life. They rule by Islamic law. Everything they do, they have to go through by the Quran, what the Quran told them to do. That's why they cannot separate it. They cannot, you cannot tell me there's moderate Muslims. There's a lot of bad Muslims, which is good for us because they are good, friendly people. But the good Muslims, they have to become like Osama bin Laden. If the more they follow the Quran, the more they become closer to the Islamic teaching, they have to become violent people. But praise God, the majority of Muslims in this country, they're coming seeking freedom. And we know the only way they can be truly free through Jesus Christ. And that's where our ministry comes, that we regularly reaching out to Muslims. Every single Friday, we go to the mosques, giving Bibles to Muslims, sharing the gospel with them in the public sidewalk. And we have a calendar outside. They can give you a copy. And also, if you come to my table, I have a free CD with some of our public debates that we do with Muslims. We do a lot of public debates. But my presentation here today is mostly to show you that not the only thing that we are facing is the violence of Islam. Also, there's other part of Islam that we are facing that attacking the Bible, attacking our faith, our belief. And this is very important for us to understand. Why? Because around 25 to 30,000 Americans converting to Islam every year. Women by marriage, African American, Hispanic. Every single week when we go to the mosque, we meet people that are converting to Islam. 2 years ago, we flew around 20 of those people that became Muslims. Some of them stayed in Islam for 20 years. But these 20 people, after a period of time, they left Islam. And we flew them here. We interviewed them why they became Muslims and why they left Islam. The main thing that if they were, those that they, from them that they grew up in the church, they had a hard time understanding the Trinity. That's the main problem they had. And the second one, which all of them, they agreed that they had no clue what Islam is. But when they discover what really Islam is, they left Islam. For example, in the Hadith, Muslims, they don't just believe in the Quran. They believe in other books called the Hadith. And the Hadith is quotations of things that Muhammad said. They must follow these ones. In America, a lot of time, the Muslims say, oh, we follow just the Quran. But the problem is the confession of faith. To become a Muslim, you have to say, no God but Allah and Muhammad, his prophet. That confession of faith is not found in the Quran. It's found in the Hadith. They cannot deny the Hadith. They have to go with it. But in the Hadith, it says, if you just assume that Muhammad is black, he should be killed. If the African-American community found out this information, I don't think that they will become Muslims. A lot of time, Islam labeled to them as the black man religion, and Christianity is the white man religion. That's not true. I was born in Africa. I grew up in Sudan. I came to America. Now I am African-American officially. Praise God. I am. when they did the census, they came to my home and they asked me my background. I did not want to say Sudanese. I say I'm African-American. And she looked in the paper. She couldn't find except black, and she marked me as black. Praise God. But I never seen black person in the United States yet. I seen brown people. But the real black people in my country, in Sudan, 2.5 million of them being killed because of Islam. 2.5 million of them. Just 5 years ago, there was a war in Darfur. Maybe you heard about it. This is Muslims killing Muslims just because they are black. In one day, they went to that city, they throw in the fire 3,000 babies, and they rape the women to make them pregnant with pure Arabic blood and kill their husbands. That's in my country, just 5 years ago. But I don't want to go further into the violence part because I already established that this is in the Quran, and if anyone wants some references afterward, I will be more than happy to give it to you after. But why they do what they're doing? Because of the Quran. Why they do what they're doing? Because of the God of Islam. And my prayer today, tonight, that you will separate between Islam as a religion, as a problem, the teaching of the Quran, and the people. People are victims of this religion. Is it up there? Okay, sorry. Okay. My prayer, brother, would you please read for me from the back?
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
This Paul, he was praying for Israel, but I am a witness. This is the same thing with Muslims. They are so passionate. They are so committed, but they have the wrong information about the creator of this universe, the true God. They are so committed to follow their God to the point that they're willing to die for him. They pray 5 times a day, including the first prayer. They have to wake up before sunrise, right at sunrise. They have to wash themselves. They have to pray 5 times a day. They fast 30 days a year from sunrise to sunset. They are so committed for this God. Believe me, when they come to know Christ, they are committed to their God because of fear. But when they come to know Christ, they will be willing to die for Christ, not carrying a bomb, but carrying the word of God, knowing they could be killed for that. We need to understand the God of this world, he blinded their eyes. They cannot see. Who's the God of this world? What is the name of Satan in the Bible? One of them. The best of all deceiver, the father of all liars. And in the Quran, in the Quran, Allah described himself as the best of all deceiving ones, the best of all deceivers. In the Quran, in his own words, Allah, the best of all deceiving ones, or the best of all deceivers. He admitted he is Satan. This you're going to find, if you find English Quran, it's going to say the best of all planners. But let's say, if it is a planner in English, let's ask a Muslim if he will trust Allah's plan for his life. Every Muslim will say yes. But if you read this verse, brother, would you read the second verse?
Were they feeling secure from the deception of Allah? None feel secure from the deception of Allah except a people that shall lose.
Let's say planner. Would you feel secure from the plan of Allah? None can feel secure from the plan of Allah except those shall lose. If you trust Allah's plan for your life, you're going to hell according to Islam. These people are victims of this religion, the God of this world, the father of all liars, the best of all deceivers, has blinded their eyes and they cannot see. We cannot, if maybe even myself, I did this before where I put all Muslims in the category of enemies. We need to take them out of there and put them as victims of Islam, as lost without salvation, that they need Christ. The Quran attacked the deity of Christ. That's one of their main attacks. They attack the crucifixion that never happened. That's not necessarily what the Quran says, but that a lot of time what Muslims believe, not necessarily what the Quran say. There's a lot of contradictions and different between, but the majority of Muslims believe that Jesus never died on the cross. God took him and put someone else on the cross. But now, how we can prove the deity of Christ? How can we prove the crucifixion? From the Bible? Yes. But also crucifixion, of course, from historical evidence as well. But once you bring evidence for them from the Bible for the deity of Christ, the crucifixion, they're going to tell you the Bible has been corrupted, being changed. All the evidence you brought to them, oh, the Bible being changed. Then the main thing comes to the Bible or the Quran. Which one is the Word of God? The Bible or the Quran? That's the main point that we should discuss with Muslims when we want to see them coming out of Islam. Muslims believe the Quran is eternal, that came from heaven, just like the Mormon idea that their book is eternal. They believe the Quran is perfect. They believe the Quran is unchanged. They believe it is a miracle. These things, that eternal, perfect, and change when we talk about the Bible, we never believe the Bible that it was eternal in heaven coming down from heaven. Then that claim cannot even match the Bible. Perfect, the Word of God is perfect. But does that mean there was never mistakes that by the scribers of the Bible when they was copying the Bible? Because there was no computers, there was no printers. They copy from copy to copy to send it out there. There's sometimes mistakes being done, but what happened, we have, like the New Testament, we have 5,800, close to 5,800 fragments. If you put it together, we have many, many copies of the Bible. Yes, there's small differences here and there, but they never change the fact that Jesus is God. They never change the fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sin. Nothing, all these differences, it never changed the message of the Bible. Sometimes, like for example, you're going to find verses in the book, in the King James Bible, but it's not found today in our Bibles, or they will have them, but you put a footnote that's not found in the earlier manuscripts. Because in King James time, the manuscripts that they have at their time, there was sometimes they will find a footnote in the side. And when they were collecting it, they assumed it's part of the Bible and they put it in. But we are honest, we examine our manuscripts, we looked at them, and if there's we found earlier ones showing something different, we change it. We correct it. But does that mean these verses in the King James is not really from the Bible? You never know. Maybe we'll find older manuscript later on that it is part of the Bible. But these verses does not change at all the message of the Bible. Plus, the Old Testament. We can prove the deity of Christ from the Old Testament. We can prove the crucifixion from the Old Testament. We have the Dead Sea Scrolls. It goes 200 years before Christ. And now, when we compare it to what we have, actually, this is the entire Bible, except, I believe, the book of Esther. But when we compare them with what we have today, it's 100% matched the Old Testament. We have enough evidence for the Bible that it is a word of God and it is perfect message. But we cannot claim the text in the Bible, it is perfect. Sometimes there are some mistakes, but they corrected it. They searching, there's scholars, they look at it, they confirming that it is true message of God, that it's showing that the message never change. But Muslims believe that it is coming from heaven. Then if there's one letter in the Quran different than other Quran, this is a big problem for them. For us, it's not a problem if we have few letters or few words different. It's not a problem. But for them, it is a problem because they believe it came from heaven down. They believe that Allah is the God of the universe. The word Allah, it's the same word that found in the Arabic Christian Bible. We believe Allah is the God of the universe, but we don't believe our Allah is the Allah of the Muslims. Why? Because it's an insult to the God of the Bible to call him the God of Islam because he's the best of all deceivers. His character is completely different God. But our God is not Jehovah Witness God, or our Jehovah is not Jehovah Witness Jehovah because different description. Their Jehovah Witness, their God, he's not the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They don't believe in that. It's a different God, different character. Our Allah is not the Allah of Islam. It's not the word, not just because the Arabic Bible say Allah, that means the God of Islam is true. He's not true. He claimed to be the God of the real true God, but he's not. They believe this God, he sent the Old Testament. They believe this God, he sent the book of Psalms to David. And they believe he sent the New Testament to Jesus. And they believe the same God, he sent the Quran. And they believe that we, human, corrupted the Old Testament and corrupted the book of Psalms and corrupted the New Testament. But the question is, what's going to stop us from corrupting the Quran as well? If this God failed to protect his word three times, what's going to stop us from corrupting his Quran? If this God is not able to protect his book, why should I believe in him? Why should I believe in any other book that from a weak God that he could not protect it? They will tell you that God trusted the Jews and Christians to protect their books, but they did not do their job, but now God promised to protect the Quran. Now, finally, he's going to do it right. He learned from his mistakes. Let's see how the Bible inspired. Brother?
For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
This is the key word. They were like the pen in the hand of God as they writing the word of God. There's no place for corruption. Oops. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. He promised to protect his word. But the thing, even if the Bible corrupt, they have a big dilemma in the Islamic teaching. In the Quran, it say, and let people of the gospel judge by what Allah has revealed therein. Some Christians came to Muhammad to judge between them, and he told them, no. Allah told Muhammad, do not judge between them. Let them go and judge by the gospel. If the gospel being corrupted, how in the world Allah asking Muhammad to let us judge by the gospel? Say, of the people of Scripture, which is Christian and Jews, you are on nothing until you uphold the Torah and the gospel, which is the real translation say, O Christian and Jews, you have no ground to stand upon unless you act according to the Bible and the Torah. The Quran command us as Christians. They say, you Christians, you are nothing if you did not follow the Torah and the Injil. If the Bible been corrupted, we have a problem here. And if you, Muhammad, doubt concerning which we reveal into thee, then question those who read the scripture before you. Oh, Allah telling Muhammad himself, if he have doubts about the Quran, he should come and confirm with us. He did not have a doubt, maybe, but there's many Muslims today have a doubt, and the Quran encouraged them to come and ask us as Christian and Jews. And if they come, we will tell them that the Quran is not from God. And the word you the word of your Lord has been fulfilled. Truth, justice, none can alter his word. No one can change God's word according to the Quran. Now, we have a Quran, we have a Bible. One of them have to be true. If the Bible is true, the Quran cannot be word of God. Why? Because it contradicts the message. The Quran says that Jesus is not God. Jesus is just a prophet. Jesus did not crucify. The Bible said Jesus crucified. It cannot be both true. If the Bible not corrupt, then the Quran cannot be word of God. But if the Bible is corrupt, guess what? The Quran still cannot be word of God. Why? Because the Quran says no one can change his word. The Quran says the Bible cannot be corrupted. The Quran says, judge by the Bible. Stand, you Christian and Jews, follow the Bible message, laws. Then no matter what, the Quran is wrong. If the Bible not corrupted, the Quran is wrong because it contradicts the message of the Bible. And if the Bible is corrupt, the Quran is still wrong, because it says it cannot be corrupted. This is the Islamic dilemma or the Quranic dilemma. Young people, they're going to give you a Bible in the university and colleges. When you go there, there's something called MSA, Muslim Student Association. They're going to challenge you to show them the word Trinity in the Bible. Or they're going to challenge you, going to tell you, show me where Jesus say, I am God, worship me. They will demand these exact words. For the Trinity, if you turn around, the They believe in something called Tawheed. Tawheed, it means oneness of God. God is just one. The word Tawheed is not in the Quran. If they're demanding for us, I usually, when Muslims tell me that, they tell me, I will ask him, do you think I should leave Christianity because the word Trinity is not in the Bible? He will say yes. I tell him, are you ready to leave Islam? And turn the question around. But where Jesus say, I'm God, worship me, they're demanding that exact words. I will ask them, if Jesus here today and told you, I'm God, worship me, would you do it? He say, no. I tell him, why you demand it then? Jesus knew it. The people, they would not believe him if he did it, if he said that exact phrase. But Jesus did things that only God can do. Jesus forgives sin, which only God can do. But also Jesus did say, I'm God. But he said it in the language of his people at that time. They understood it clearly that he committed blasphemy by claiming to be God, and they took stones and wanted to stone him. It's very important, young people, to know how to defend what you believe. Very important. Because the Muslims will come after you. And young ladies, I want you to watch a movie called Not Without My Daughter. Not Without My Daughter. Because a Muslim man going to come and say, I love you, but he loved really the green card, not you. Be careful. Okay, how the Quran being inspired? Allah to angels, we did not see that, to Muhammad to his followers, and they kept it in memory. When they say people of the book in the Quran, they usually meant Christian and Jews. They never meant Muslims because it was not meant for them to have a book. The word Quran, it means to recite, to memorize. It was never meant to be printed in a book. But the moment Muhammad died, Muslims killing each other, they were afraid they would lose the Quran because it was kept in memory. And they decided later on to start making copies of that. There's some pieces of it that was written during the time of Muhammad. Some of it in bones and some of it in papers, but different kind. But by the time of the third successor, he collected, he tried to collect the Quran. He ended with many different Qurans. And he decided, who decided? A third successor. He's not even a prophet. He's just a regular man. Decided which one is the word of God. And he burned all the rest, the other copies. If God finally learned the lesson, he trusted the Christian and Jews and David followers, and now he wants to do it better, he will do it like this. It's not going to be possible. But many people hid their copies from the third successor because they don't want it to be burned. And now we are finding a lot of those. Muslims believe that they have only one Quran. That's the first thing they tell you. You have many Bibles, we have one Quran. Usually when they say many Bibles, you need to make sure to ask them what you mean by that. Because sometimes they meant the Gospel of John, Luke, Matthew. They think this is different Bibles. Take advantage of that question by explaining the word gospel. What does it mean? The good news, and share the gospel message. But a lot of time they meant also translations. Guess what? There's 32 different translations of the Quran as well. Okay. There's missing passages like this chapter 33. It is 70-something verses right now. It's supposed to be 130 verses. Two-thirds of the chapter is missing. Brother, would you read this, please? Start it from here. Aisha said.
She said, the verse of stoning and of breastfeeding an adult 10 times was revealed, and the paper was with me under my pillow. When the messenger of Allah died, we were preoccupied with his death, and a tame sheep came and ate it.
Allah could not protect the Quran from a sheep. These chapters, they don't have it in the Quran anymore. And they're telling me it's perfect and it's unchanged, eternal word of God. Which one? It's in heaven. Before the goat ate it or after? Which parts? Is this part that we don't have in the Quran today, is it in heaven? Would you please read from here, please? The Prophet.
The Prophet is closer to the believers than their own selves, and his wives are their mothers.
Okay, Ubay ibn Ka'b, according to Muhammad, he said, if you forgot the Quran, go to four people. They are the best memorizer of the Quran. And Ubay ibn Ka'b, he was the second or the third person in that list. And in his Quran, he says this phrase that is not found in the Quran today. And he is the father of them. This phrase is not in the Quran today. But Ubay ibn Ka'b, he was mentioned as one of the best memorizers of the Quran. Why did it not include what he thinks should be there? Go ahead.
One of Muhammad's companions, Abu Musa, supported this claim when he said that the early Muslims forgot two surahs due to laziness, and we can find that in Sahih Muslim.
See, Sahih Muslim is a hadith, is reporting sayings of Muhammad, and it's authentic Sahih Muslim. It's that trustworthy by Muslims that they have to follow what it says there. The hadith was like Bukhari, one of them, it was over 700,000 reports of things that Muhammad said. And in year 900, that's 400 years after Muhammad, or 300 something, he decided to go through them and see which one is trustworthy. And he brought them down to 7,000 reports of things that Muhammad said. And now, 1,000 years later, Muslims are still trying to pick and choose which one. And sadly, in the end, that it becomes their own personal decision which part they want to follow, because the Quran is not clear, even though the Quran claimed many times to be clear, but it's not clear at all. And there's a hadith that says, if when time comes when two Muslims will disagree in what the Quran means, because it's supposed to be very clear, you should not be having any disagreement, Muhammad, he told them, in that moment, you should stop using the Quran. There's thousands of different denominations of the Islamic denominations today, and none of them agree with each other. Then I think they should take Muhammad's advice, and the Quran is not for today. This is a chapter, Ubay ibn Ka'b, the one I told you, Muhammad, he said he's the best reciter. He's saying that this chapter should be included in the Quran. And this is a second chapter that he thinks that it should be included in the Quran. They have 114 chapters, but it's supposed to be 116 plus others that they forgot. We're working in our own translation of the Quran because there's no accurate translation. We took a translation from 1880 by Edward Henry Palmer. He's a British brother that he spoke fluent Arabic. He did an excellent job. After he finished his translation, 2 years later, he was killed in Egypt. But we took that Quran because it's copyright-free, and we're revising it to make it even more accurate. Plus, we're adding commentary, responding to the attacks of the Quran, to the Bible, to the deity of Christ, and also we're showing the contradictions in the Quran. We're adding these two chapters back to the Quran as well. This way, they will have no way for them from this point on to say that we have only one perfect Quran. This is the manuscripts they found. They found six different manuscripts. This is three of them. And they found another six manuscripts. None of them match the one that they teach in the schools, universities, and colleges. I'm talking about the Arabic one. The Arabic one that now officially they use all across the world, and they say we have only one Quran. They came out with that only in 1924, when they chose that one, because there was many of them until that time. They chose that one to be the official one. They printing and all over the place, Saudi Arabia supporting that one. But none of the manuscripts they found, they match that. This is two Turkish scholars that they access all these manuscripts and they review them. They're Muslim scholars. And they came to say none of them match the Osmanic, which is the third successor, Osman, copy. They believe it's completely different. this Daniel Berger, whatever it is, from Rice University. See, you guys having a hard time to say the Arabic names earlier, right? He also accessed all the manuscripts, and he came out with this conclusion that all these problems in it. Would you read them, brother?
Tapings, insertions, erasures, erasures overwritten, overwriting without erasure, selective covering, and selective covering overwritten.
And I'm going to give you examples of that. Like this, see this square here? They covering stuff, they here, they covering stuff. Like they adding a word in the top here. Here I feel like there was some stuff and being erased. See here, writing over another writing. There was writing in the bottom and someone wrote over it again. Yeah, the Quran challenged the Christian and Jews, if it is not from God, he challenged us to write something like it. Clearly, many times the Quran, Muhammad said, if the Quran not from God, I challenge you to write something like it. Remember the two extra chapters I showed you? The Arabic matching completely, perfectly the Arabic Quran. Then Muhammad challenged, met by his own people. If this is not from the Quran, then you know what? Someone was able to write a book like the Quran. Or part of the book like the Quran, then it's still a problem for them. If nobody can write it, if someone can write like it, it's not from God, and that's evidence. If you're denying these two chapters, not from the Quran, not part of the Quran, then they met your challenge. It is written exactly perfectly in Arabic like the Quran. The Quran is not eternal. The Quran is not perfect. The Quran has been changed. But also, we discussed that the Bible is not eternal. We cannot say the Bible as the writings and the copying, it was perfect, like always there's no, like 100% perfect because the copying problems, but the message is perfect. But a lot of time we make a mistake, we compare the Quran to the Bible because they are books, and Muhammad and Jesus because they are men. But what is the Bible talk about? Jesus, it's telling us who Jesus is, or giving us the story of Jesus. Oops, what happened? Did I push the wrong button? Sorry, guys. Oh, okay. Praise God. But also tell us what Jesus said, things that being reported about Jesus, right? The hadith is telling us about Muhammad, the story of Muhammad, and things that Muhammad said. The right comparison is to put the hadith in the level of the Bible because the Bible reports about Jesus. But the hadith is full with contradictions. The Bible is, there's no contradictions at all. Every time atheists, anyone they're trying to bring contradictions or problems in the Bible, it's being answered. There's zero contradiction in the Word of God. Who's the Word of God? Their claims, perfect, eternal, unchanged. This meets Jesus. According to the Quran, Jesus is a word. His word is God's word. Jesus is God's word, according to the Quran. And according to the Quran, when the angel giving the good news for Mary that she's having a baby, he called him a holy boy or holy son. Jesus is perfect without sin, according to the Quran itself. Then whatever the Quran claiming to itself that is eternal, perfect, unchanged, that does not qualify in the Bible, but it qualify, reply apply on Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the perfect Word of God, is eternal and change. If we want to debate the Word of God in Islam and Christianity, the Quran, it should be Quran and Jesus, not the Quran and the Bible. This is based on the claim. The Quran compared to Jesus, they claim that both of them eternal revelation of God. Muhammad compared to Jesus, apostles, all like Paul, messengers of revelation. Hadith and the other Islamic material comparing to the Bible as to give historical stories and reports and also telling us about God. In that case, Muslims cannot stand if we do this comparison. The Quran is not eternal, Jesus is. The Quran is not perfect, Jesus is. The Quran has been changed, Jesus never changed. He is yesterday, today, and forever the same. Amen? It's a big challenge. Muslims, they have real challenges. They can take a verse. Remember when Jesus died and rose from the dead, and I think Mary and others, they came and he told them, I did not yet go to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. If Jesus God, does he has a God. How can be God and he has a God? He say, my God and your God. Does Jesus have a God? This is a question that's very challenging to many young people. The Old Testament clear that God say God is the God of all flesh. God is the God of all flesh. The moment that Mary has Jesus in her belly and he becoming flesh, he submitted to the Father as his God. The price, when we know him more and we understand the Word of God more and understand who really is and what he done for us, we know how much he loved us. A sin against eternal God, the punishment is eternal. It's not just he came from heaven, died, and rose from the dead, and everything is over. He gonna, in the book of Revelation, talking about him, he gonna have this body with the marks of the cross for eternity in heaven. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. He has two natures, fully man and fully God. He emptied himself to come to this world to take my place and your place in the cross. We need to know what we believe. We need to know how we can defend what we believe, because Muslims will challenge our belief. If Jesus did not die, if he's not God, there was no need for the Quran to come and try to say he's not God. If Jesus did not die on the cross, there was no need for the Quran to come. And it's clearly the message from the enemy that's trying to attack the Word of God. But we have the truth. We have what they need to know. And we know the only way they can be truly free is through the Word of God. We need to actively reach out to our neighbors, to those that are working with you if they are Muslims. You need to remember they are blinded by the God of this world. They cannot see. And our prayer that God will set them free. We have great resources. We have a book. It talks about the Quran. It's pointing to all the problem in the Quran, the mistakes, the contradictions. It's a really great book. We have this three DVDs commentary. Not commentary. What do they call it? Documentary. Sorry. they doing a history of the Bible. They go through a Bible museum in Britain, and they, as Jay Smith going through that, he will also do comparison between the Bible and the Quran, the evidence for and the historical stuff about them. Also, one of the people that debates for us, his name is David Wood. He debated a guy by name Nabil Qureshi for 4 years. And now Nabil, he debated for us. He wrote this book. It's called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. It's one of the best books And he's starting from his early age and how it gives you a very good understanding of Muslim mindset and how they their culture and all that stuff to understand them better. But also he going through the 4 years of discussion, all the arguments that he has, all the attacks he have against the Bible, and how David answered these questions to him. But also it's showing you when he came to place the, after 2 years of discussion, he said Christianity is 99.9% is true, but it's still Islam 100% true. They have to spend 2 more years showing the problem in the Islamic teaching. And after that, he came to a place that both of them are true. And he was becoming so confused if this is the right way or this. And he seek a vision and dreams from God. And finally, after 3 dreams, actually after the first dream in the morning, because the whole night long he was so struggling with that, and in the morning when he told God, I'm not going to count this dream. I was so tired. Maybe I was imagining stuff and I want more dreams. But finally, he was able to get out of Islam. It's a great book. We have it in the table outside. And please stop by. We have this DVD, a CD, MP3. But also, if you put it in your computer, you can read this more information. You can watch it and listen to it. There's a lot of public debates, but you can give it to your Muslim friend, letting them know that there's an Arabic file of the Quran here. They can never throw it away. They can keep it in their home, and when they are really seeking our prayer, that they will go and listen to it, and God will set them free.